Now that I'm your first and your third and your fourth speaker, I know it's multiple personality disorder and not schizophrenia. But I'm going to talk to you this final time on the subject of marriage, and but it will have something that will apply to the teenage girls as well. And I hope the Lord will speak to all of your hearts and that he will help you through me. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for this final opportunity to talk to these ladies. Please help them and love them through me. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. It has been a privilege to be here. We'll have to slip out. And I'm so thankful for Brother and Mrs. Ennis and the opportunity to be with you. It's been a wonderful conference. And for Miss Wendy and Miss Angela and the other Miss Angela that keeps giving me water, you're my best friend, I think. Every time I turn around, she gives me a glass of cold water, and that is so refreshing after you've been speaking. Have you ever known anyone, and you know, no names please, but have you ever known a marriage or someone who just seemed to love the Lord and serve the Lord, and they were faithful to church and soul winners, and all of a sudden you heard that they were getting a divorce? That happens way too often, doesn't it? It just happens way too often that people who, I believe, really love the Lord, people who are saved, and people who love each other, people who meant their vows or felt they meant their vows when they made them, people who serve in the church, even sometimes pastors and pastors' wives and missionaries' wives and people who are soul winners, they end up getting a divorce. And we all ask ourselves, why does that happen? And I, again, don't claim to be the expert, but everything that I have learned in my life, I feel that I have learned the hard way. Someone said, a couple of people have said since they've been here, when I read your books, I feel like I'm talking to you. And you know why that is? Because everything I learn the hard way, I feel. And when I'm talking to you, I'm just telling you what the Lord has had to work on in my life. And I want to explain to you, you know, two times in my life that I can think of, and this past June, I've been married for 32 years, and there have been two times in our marriage. I'm very happily married. I am like a schoolgirl when I'm still very, very excited about the man that I married. I feel very privileged and very honored to be his wife. I think he is the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth, and I've been very privileged to know some very great men in my life. But two times in my 32-year marriage, we came to an impasse, and we struggled. And through that, I learned, I think, a lot about what causes good people. You see, my husband and I love the Lord, and we love each other. And we meant it when we said our vows. And we've both been brought up in church all of our lives, both from good Christian homes. And we both have been soul winners. But we came twice in our 32 years to an impasse. And we got through that. And nobody gets through. Don't look at me so self-righteously out there. Nobody gets through. Even that lady who's been married 58 years, I bet she's been through some really tough times. Everybody goes through tough times. And I want to tell you what happens. You see, when I came to an impasse in my marriage two times, I want to show you the process of how marriages end up in divorce, I believe, okay? The first step to a good Christian, why good Christians divorce, is the first word that causes good Christians to divorce. Can you read it in the back? What is it?
Stubbornness.
Right. Now, I'm never stubborn. I'm just determined, okay? You're stubborn. But when you're stubborn, I think that's stubbornness. When I'm stubborn, I think I'm just determined. But the truth is, in many marriages, I think in most marriages, there comes a point in your marriage where you come to a point, and I came to that point a couple of times in my marriage where I thought, okay. I learned a lot about submission when I was first married. My parents, my father in particular, counseled me every week during my engagement, and I was engaged for 12 months, about how to be a good wife. And even though he did that, I learned at the beginning of my marriage, I had a lot to learn about being a wife. And I learned submission. I learned literally to yield in conflict, to help my allow my husband to make small decisions so that he would be practiced to make the big ones. But even though I felt that I had learned submission twice in my marriage, and one in particular I'm thinking of now, I thought, okay, this is the limit. And it was not about standards. My husband and I totally are in agreement on doctrine, standards, everything, because we live such a public life. I had to put that in there. But it was something that really, really meant a lot to me. I thought, okay, in this one thing, just this one thing, mind you, I cannot be submissive. And I look back and I realize that I was being stubborn. You know, many of our times that we don't submit, it's because of a hurt in our life. Or because we're afraid. Fear is a big reason why women don't submit. And when you don't submit because of fear, you don't recognize that it's stubbornness. You don't understand. I'm just afraid. No. You're stubborn. Fear, stubbornness masked in fear is still stubbornness. And when I came to those impasses in my life, my marriage, I was stubborn. Stubborn leads to, see if you can see this in the back. What does this say? Misunderstanding, right? Stubbornness leads to misunderstanding. And that's exactly what happened in my marriage when we came to that impasse. First, I was stubborn. And I said, I've been submissive. I'll be submissive in 99.9% of the things, but not in this one thing. Which led to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding, a wall starts to build up between the husband and the wife. And misunderstanding leads to, see if you can see that, what's that word?
Disrespect.
Misunderstanding leads to disrespect. When you and your husband are not on the same page and there's a wall between the two of you, you begin to treat him with disrespect. Perhaps you don't mean to. Y'all are watching to see if that's going to fall, aren't you? I'm predicting. I don't bet, but if I was a betting woman, I'd say it's probably going to fall. Disrespect. And disrespect leads to, and I don't know if I'm going to, this is going to work. Disrespect. Let's try it. If they're not made out of brick, we'll be okay. What does disrespect lead to? It leads to
conflict.
Conflict. Conflict. Conflict. Conflict. Conflict. Do you hate conflict? And don't you just long for peace? But many marriages, that word conflict describes their marriage. Conflict, 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 conflict. And even the best of Christians get tired of conflict. And I think one of the most common reasons that a good Christian, and it's not an excuse, but it is a reason, ends up in adultery, divorce, is because they just got tired of the constant conflict. Nobody, it takes a very strong person to live with constant conflict. And that's not how God intended a marriage to be. God did not intend, God created marriage. It was his idea. Therefore, it's excellent in every way. He made it before the fall of man. It's a perfect institution when it is carried out according to God's plan. Marriage was not supposed to be as fun as going to the dentist to get your teeth pulled. It was supposed to be a peaceful, comforting relationship. So, how do we prevent this from happening? Well, the way to prevent this from happening, and I came to this point in my life with my impasse that I had in my marriage. I had to come to this point. What's this word?
Submission.
You know, you can't go to a ladies' conference without hearing the S word. It's why we get nervous, right? Submission. Submission. And when it came to the impasse that I came to in my own marriage, I had to come to a point, ladies, where I said, it is not fear. It is not determination. It is stubbornness, which is as the sin of witchcraft. And I had to say, I surrender. I submit to this one thing in my life that I really didn't want to submit to. My husband is a very easy man to live with, by the way. And looking back, it seems silly now, but it meant a lot to me at the time. And I came to the point where I realized that I was being stubborn and that I had to submit. Submission leads to, this is a wonderful word. What word is that?
Understanding,
right. Sometime during this time in my marriage, I was searching the scripture. I really was. I was searching the Word of God, and I was searching, reading books and trying to learn how to have a good marriage. And I came across a book that's on communication in marriage. That's a good subject to study in marriage. And I read the most profound thing that I have ever read about communication in marriage. It made everything that I've ever read about communication seem really trite. The author said, if you want to solve a conflict in marriage and have good communication in your marriage, then whenever you have a conflict, you must make it your goal to understand why your husband is right. I read it and I thought, wow. All the cute little things, like don't talk when you're hungry, you know, it all just went out the door, and I thought, that's what I need to do. I need to make it my goal to understand why my husband is right. I'm a football fan. I love football. I don't play it, but I like to watch it. I'm not really a big sports fan as far as watching sports, but I watched football with my dad growing up. He was a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I learned to love the sport of football. I'm no longer a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm a Chicago Bears fan. But thank you. But you know, when a football team is playing, there is a coach, and the coach calls the plays, right? And the players run the play that the coach calls. They get paid a lot of money to run the coach's plays. Can you imagine an NFL player standing on the field going, I'm sorry, coach, I'm not running that play. I don't get why you want to run that play. That's a stupid play. I'm not going to run it. No, the coach calls the play. The player runs the coach's plan. And that's exactly how it is in marriage. My husband is, he calls the plays. I run his plan. It is my job to try to understand my husband. And when I don't understand him, it is my job to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. I am supposed to seek to understand my husband. Now, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana does not have a perfect pastor's wife, as you've probably already figured out. The pastor and the pastor's wife of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana do not have a perfect marriage. But there are no walls between the pastor and the pastor's wife of the First Baptist Church of Hammond. When I don't understand him, it's my job to get on his page. It's not his job to get on my page. It's not his job to fulfill my agenda. It is my job to fulfill his agenda. Understanding leads to
respect.
Right. Understanding leads to respect. And respect leads to peace. And that's exactly what happened in my marriage. I began to submit, and I began to try to understand why my husband was right. And I also learned a great lesson about the fact that when you don't understand God, you submit. And when you don't understand your authority, you submit. And that submission led to understanding. And I'm constantly trying to study my husband and understand him. What makes him happy? What makes him smile, that really wide, peaceful smile? What does he like to eat? What does he like me to buy at the store? How does he like me to schedule my time? How does he like me to behave when he's home? Everything. I'm constantly studying him. I fail. I'm not perfect. I'm flesh. But I study to understand him. And, you know, the world will tell you, well, listen, if you submit, you know what he's going to do? He's going to walk all over you. And that's a worldly philosophy, and I don't find it to be true. I still believe that 90% of the time, if not more, you submit to a man, and he's going to treat you with respect, and you're going to respect him. When I come to a conference, so often I will have ladies who will follow me around and say, "Do you need anything? Can I get you anything? Can we do anything? Can we make any visual aids for you? Can we take you to dinner? You want some water? You want another water? You want another water?" And I don't sit there going, "I'm going to take advantage of these people." No. I'm humbled. I'm honored. And so it is in marriage. I know, ladies, I've tried both ways. And the more that I submit and understand and respect my husband, the more I am loved. And the more peace there is in our home. Now, I want to talk to you in the time that I have left about that one word, the one word, respect. I have a talk on stubbornness. I have a talk on submission. I have a talk on understanding. But I want to talk to you about that one word, respect. God commands us to respect our husbands. Ephesians 5:33 says, "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." And, you know, I wish that I could say that just reading that that's what God wanted, that did it for me. But so often we hear what God wants, and we still have to figure out what's in it for us. And we don't want to respect because we got to figure out what's in it for us. So I want to tell you a little bit today what's in it for you. But first of all, I do want to tell you, and it should be enough for all of us, that God commands us to respect our husbands and our authority. Teenage girls, God commands us to respect our authority. That means that you're not going to always understand your mom and dad. But your job is when you don't agree with your mom and dad as a child, as a teenager, your job is to make it your goal to find out why your mom and dad are right. I have lived long enough to find out that my mom and dad were right pretty much every time I didn't understand them when I was a teenager. Probably all the time I didn't understand them. But God commands us to respect. A man would rather be respected than loved. And I do want to point out this today, that our society is not very good at respecting. We are very, you know, my husband says if he could name the greatest sin of this generation of Americans, it would be disrespect. When several years ago, when there was the Virginia Tech massacre, for example, in April a few years back, I listened to the Chicago News that week. And all week long, on and off, they reported what took place at Virginia Tech. And what grieved my soul that whole week is, I don't know about your area, but the Chicago News did not talk about the grieving families. They did not talk about the killer. The Chicago News spent the whole week talking about how the authorities handled the situation wrong. And that is so typical of our society and of this generation. We're very prone to disrespect our pastors, very prone to disrespect our husbands, our parents, our authorities. Now, when I came to this impasse in my marriage, I began to study. I went into my Bible, and this is the next thing I want to say about respect. The fear of the Lord and respect are one and the same. There are many ways to disrespect the Lord, but it is impossible to live in a state of disrespect towards your husband and truly fear the Lord. It is impossible to live in a state of disrespect towards your parents and truly fear the Lord. The word fear in the Bible means respect. And our husbands are our godlike authority if we're wives. If we're children, our parents are our godlike authority. Everybody has a godlike authority. Your husband's godlike authority is God himself, his pastor, his employer. My husband, in some ways, is answerable to our whole deacon board. In some ways, because of the size of our church, is answerable to the whole, sometimes it seems the whole world. Me, I'm answerable to one man, and I got to pick him out. And we go, "Oh, why do we have to be submissive? We got it easy, ladies. We just have to be submissive to our husband." And when knowing that the fear of the Lord and respect are synonymous, I did a Bible study, and I challenge you to do this, and I wrote down every time I found the words the fear of the Lord, and I wrote down how I could apply that to my marriage. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Someone may be sitting out here today going, I do not have a clue how to fix my marriage. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you do not respect your husband, you will not begin to have the wisdom to know how to fix your marriage. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You won't begin to know how to fix your problem if you don't respect your husband. Number next, disrespect creates out-of-control situations in the home. If you'll turn your Bibles to Proverbs 19:23. Proverbs 19:23. If you'll look up at me and smile when you find it, we'll read it together. It's just one verse that I want to show you. When I was doing this Bible study on the fear of the Lord, I found this verse, and it just really helped me. Proverbs 19:23. Got it? Y'all are slow. You're slower after lunch than before lunch. You were fast before. Okay, Proverbs 19:23. Let's read it together. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Have you ever had a brouhaha in your marriage? Now, what is a brouhaha? Don't say last night, okay? What is it? Because we just keep it a secret, okay? What is a brouhaha? It's one of those arguments that just gets out of control. You ever gone, you started saying, I don't want to be unkind, honey. But I just have a little suggestion. You're a slob. Have you ever had something, and it just, have you ever had a discussion, quote unquote, discussion in your marriage that got out of control? How did that happen? You know, did you know that a Christian marriage is not supposed to resemble an episode of The Simpsons? Now, I've never seen the show, but Jamie tells me what it's like. She watches it. No, I'm kidding. She doesn't. But God created marriage to be a comfort, home to be a place of refuge, a place of peace. If you can't find refuge in your marriage and in your home, where do you go to find refuge? God did not intend, but the Bible says, if you fear the Lord, you will not be visited with evil. If you respect your authority, you keep evil out of your home. But when you disrespect your husband, you open the door. It's just like opening the door and saying, hey, devil, would you come on in? I'd like to introduce you to my children. I'd like to show my children what you're like, how you behave, how you talk. Just come right on in. And we wonder why we struggle with our thoughts. Because the devil, we invite him into our minds. We invite him into our homes when we disrespect our husbands. But the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. When we respect our husbands, it creates a love of life and a contentment. I love my life. I have lived in Northwest Indiana for 51 years. I was born there. Northwest Indiana does not look at all like California. There's no mountains. There's no ocean. There's very, 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 very cold weather. But I think Northwest Indiana is the most beautiful place in the whole world. I love where I live. I've lived in the same house for 28 years. I love my house. My husband will tell you very rarely, and I'm not perfect. I learned all this the hard way, remember? But I love my house. Very, very rarely does a day go by. I don't know if a week ever goes by when I don't just tell my husband, I just love this place. I just love my house. I love the man that I married. I think he is the coolest man that ever walked the face of the earth. I love our marriage. I love the children God gave me. I love my in-laws. I love my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law are just the best in the world. Of course, I love my grandchildren. They are the best. I'm telling you, they're the best. I love my church. I love life. I love living. And if you knew me, you would know that there are some reasons that I might could not love living. But I love life, and I'm content. I don't live in a mansion. If you saw my house, I think it's beautiful, but I don't live you wouldn't walk, oh, yeah, of course, she's a pastor's a wife of a megachurch. I figured she'd live in that house. Some of the people who've come over and worked at our house and said, well, we just figured you'd live in a house that looked more like, you know, like a mansion. I would move to a bigger house, but I just love where I live. I absolutely love it. And you know what? When you respect your authority, there's a love of life. The Bible says it. I'm not telling you this. God says it. When you respect authority, you respect your husband, that creates a love of life and a contentment. But when you disrespect your husband, it creates out-of-control situations. And it brings evil into your home. And it opens the door, and it brings evil into your mind, and it brings evil into your home. But when you fear the Lord, and you cannot fear the Lord and live in a state of disrespect towards your husband, it causes you to love life, and it causes you to have a contentment. We mainly respect with our words. That's why in our thoughts, it's what's so important what you think. I made a rule when I first got married that I would never say anything negative about my husband, and that I would take every opportunity to say something positive. When someone asks me, tell me in 5 minutes how to have a good marriage, and college girls ask you questions like that all the time, the first thing you do is go, oh, I'm going to tell you in 5 minutes how to have a good marriage, okay? No, you don't say that out loud, but that's what you're thinking. And then I tell them two things. Have a date night. Go out on a date once a week and spend a couple hours just being sweethearts. And then follow these two rules. Never say anything negative about your husband. Don't even infer negative. You know, like, I would have been earlier, but you know who wanted his supper and he wouldn't get it himself. Never say anything negative about your husband. Take every opportunity to say something positive about your husband. If you went to our church, you would hear my husband very often say kind things about me. You know what? He does not say kind things about me because I'm all that great. He says kind things about me because we made a decision many years ago that we would always present each other in a positive light, that we would always speak positively of each other, that we would never say anything negative to each other. We mainly choose to respect or disrespect with our words. And I just want to reiterate one more time. There are many ways to not fear the Lord. But it is impossible. Teenage girl, it's impossible to fear the Lord and live in a state of disrespect towards your mom and dad. Now, have I ever disrespected my mom and dad? I have. But I didn't live there. I may have visited a couple times, but I didn't live there. And when my dad passed away 10 years ago, I had not been a perfect daughter, but I had no regrets. I believe I did my best as the daughter of my father. Have I ever in 32 years disrespected my husband? Oh, yeah. But I didn't stay there. And if I ever do disrespect him, you know, I think I'm funny, so I like to crack jokes. Sometimes I'll tease my husband and I'll think, oops, cross the line. That was disrespectful. And I'll apologize. And I will ask forgiveness. And I'll try to make up for it. But it is impossible to fear the Lord and live in a state of disrespect towards your husband. You know, God knows whether or not we fear him. He's not stupid. He knows. And when he sees us disrespecting our authority, he knows that we do not fear him. I want to end this talk by reading a couple verses. You see, several years ago, when my husband and I came to an impasse, this is exactly what I did. I was stubborn. I misunderstood my husband. I disrespected him. A wall grew between us, and there was a lot of conflict. I came to the point in my life where I realized it was stubbornness. I decided to submit. I studied my husband and tried to understand why he was right. I began to treat my husband with respect as the walls came down. And if you visited our home right now, you would say, oh, it's peaceful here. I can't wait to see my husband again. I left him a card for every day I'm gone, as I always do. We talked last night, and he said, I'm praying for you. They're so lucky to have you there. They're just, you know, and that's just the kind of home that we have. But it was because I submitted. That's where it started, and it had to start with me, because it wasn't his job to run my game plan. It was my job to run his game plan. And when I began to submit, began to seek to understand, I began to respect, our home became a peaceful place, and now we have our grandchildren, we have children and grandchildren that live across the street from us. We have, when we went through this impasse, I did not have a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law. Now I have a son-in-law and daughter-in-law, and they're all serving the Lord in our ministries. I have number 5 grandchildren with number 6 on the way any day, 2 children and a son, a daughter and son-in-law, and 3 grandchildren that live directly across the street. A ministry that my husband was not the pastor when we went through this impasse. I did not know what kind of ministry God had for us. But I was choosing. I was choosing all of that when I decided to submit to my husband. And I'm not perfect by any means, but I can tell you that God's way works. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I'm about to close. The ladies have asked me to give an invitation, and I just want to ask you, do you respect your authority? Teenage girl, do you respect your authority? Teenage girl, do you respect your mom and dad? Or let me ask you another question, teenage girl. Do you fear the Lord? Married lady, do you respect your pastor? Do you respect your husband? Or let me ask you a better question. Do you fear the Lord? I want to ask the pianist to come and play a song of invitation. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart in any of these 4 talks that you've heard, and teens, you've heard a talk from Mrs. Lapina. And if Mrs. Lapina, something she said has spoken to your heart, or something that's been said today has been spoken to your heart, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. If you would like to respond to anything that you've heard today and make any kind of a decision, I would encourage you to kneel by your seat or to come forward and kneel and to make a decision at this time while the pianist plays.